This Wikipedia entry is brought to you by Learn Out Loud. For more educational audio material, please visit www.learnoutloud.com.
The following is the Wikipedia entry for Web 2.0 and is current as of November 20th, 2005. For the text version of this entry, please visit www.wikipedia.org. Web 2.0. The term Web 2.0 refers to development of the World Wide Web, including its architecture and its applications. However, a consensus upon its exact meaning has not yet been reached. A growing chorus of skeptics argue that the term is essentially meaningless, or that it means whatever its proponents decide they want it to mean in order to convince the media and investors that they are creating something fundamentally new, rather than using well-established technologies such as JavaScript and recycling unsustainable business models that failed in the dot-com crash, such as the concept that a service's popularity necessarily correlates to its ability to earn money. As used by its proponents, the phrase currently refers to one or more of the below: a transition of websites from isolated information silos to sources of content and functionality, thus becoming a computing platform serving web applications to end users; a social phenomenon referring to an approach to creating and distributing web content itself, characterized by open communication, decentralization of authority, freedom to share and reuse, and the market as a conversation; a more organized and categorized content with a more developed deep linking web architecture; a shift in economic value of the web, potentially equaling that of the dot-com boom of the late 1990s. Many recently developed concepts and technologies are seen as contributing to Web 2.0, including weblogs, wikis, podcasts, web feeds, and other forms of many-to-many publishing, social software, web APIs, web standards, online web services, Ajax, and others. The concept is different from Web 1.0, as it is a move away from websites, email, using search engines, and surfing from one website to the next. Others are more skeptical that such basic concepts can be superseded in any real way by those listed above. Overview. Early web development, in this context labeled Web 1.0, often comprised static HTML pages that were updated rarely, if at all. The success of the dot-com era depended on a more dynamic web, sometimes labeled Web 1.5, where content management systems served dynamic HTML web pages created on the fly from a content database that could more easily be changed. In both senses, so-called eyeballing was considered intrinsic to the web experience, thus making page hits and visual aesthetics important factors. Proponents of the Web 2.0 approach believe that web usage is increasingly oriented toward interaction and rudimentary social networks, which can serve content that exploits network effects with or without creating a visual interactive web page. In one view, Web 2.0 sites act more as points of presence or user-dependent web portals than as traditional websites. It is interesting in this context to note the public_HTML folder that has been a feature in most Linux users' home directory for a decade. The standard implementation of the Apache web server has always been able to present any site built by the user in this folder onto the World Wide Web as http://hostname/username. Perhaps Web 2.0 will be less under the control of specialized so-called web designers and closer to Tim Berners-Lee's original DIY and personal concept. Origin of the term. The term was coined by Dale Dougherty of O'Reilly Media, brainstorming with Craig Klein of Media Live to develop ideas for a conference they could jointly host. Dougherty suggested that the web was in a renaissance, with changing rules and evolving business models. Dougherty gave examples. DoubleClick was Web 1.0. Google AdSense is Web 2.0. Ophoto is Web 1.0. Flickr is Web 2.0. Rather than definitions, he recruited John Battle from a business perspective, and O'Reilly Media, Battle, and Media Live launched the first Web 2.0 conference in October 2004. The second annual conference was held in October 2005. In their first conference opening talk, O'Reilly and Battle summarized key principles they believe characterized Web 2.0 applications. The web as a platform, data as the intel inside, network effects driven by an architecture of participation, innovation and assembly of systems and sites composed by pulling together features from the distributed, independent developers, lightweight business models enabled by content and service syndication, the end of the software adoption cycle, the perpetual beta, software above the level of a single device, leveraging the power of the long tail. Comparison with semantic web. An earlier usage of the phrase Web 2.0 was a synonym for semantic web. The two concepts are similar and complementary. The combination of social networking systems such as FOAF and XFN with the development of tag-based folksonomies and delivered through blogs and wikis creates a natural bias basis for a semantic environment. Comparison with Web 3.0. There is even speculation about Web 3.0. Some speculate it will be a web-based operating system, perhaps a metaverse based on a concept like the Coquet project. Web 3.0 will probably be much more distributed than Web 2.0, and many of the current Web 2.0 services will be gone. Social networking sites such as Friendster may be replaced by semantic connections. A large part of Web 3.0 is decentralization of web services. Instead of loading your pictures to the Flickr service, you host the pictures on your computer, just like a mini web server. Or you may choose to use one of many hosting sites using a common standard instead of standalone sites like Flickr today. This again seems to herald a return to the earliest web developers' view that most computer users would have something of value to publish onto a worldwide web of knowledge and information. Perhaps, even in the face of present-day security concerns and the widespread lack of education about fundamental web concepts like HTML, CSS, and HTTP, Web 2.0 or Web 3.0 will encourage everyday people, rather than expensive specialists, to publish their own work. Present-day web publishing. Of course, with most current Microsoft home computers coming with a free copy of the IIS web server, and Linux ones being equipped with Apache, there should be nothing to stop any computer user publishing whatever they like from their own machine. This was the original concept of the web, and that is why these servers are there. Several factors have militated against the widespread uptake of these facilities, however. Lack of knowledge. Many people do not have the scripting skills necessary to develop a website in HTML. Although the language was designed to be simple enough for this. Most school curriculums are biased towards teaching pupils the skills necessary to operate commercial office software products, rather than these skills, so this seems unlikely to be about to change. Easy to use, what you see is what you get HTML and CSS editors have been improving for some time, but there are still problems with many of them. Security. Many users are rightly wary of running a public website on a home computer. No matter how well set up it is, a web service increases the surface attack that the machine presents to the internet. Whether or not the material presented is in any way controversial or even just popular, there will be those who will try to attack such a service. Skills, knowledge, and some ongoing attention will be necessary to maintain a secure machine. ISP limitations. Most dial-up or ADSL connections to the internet are issued an IP address upon connection, which may change from time to time. To counteract this, dynamic DNS services are available that connect incoming web page requests correctly, regardless of the current IP address of the server. There are two remaining problems. Firstly, setting this up takes some knowledge, and doing so may well cost the user in fees and charges. Secondly, many ISPs would rather people do not do this from home and set bandwidth limitations and quotas that will prevent them from doing so if their site becomes even remotely popular with the public. Web space. Most ISPs and some other organizations offer free web space to their subscribers. Many take advantage of this already and have been doing so since the dawn of the web. They are usually lacking bandwidth, naming, and other limitations that can then be circumvented by the payment of appropriate fees. The ISP will look after many of the issues arising from security, backing up of data, etc. The service is not offered from a home machine that may contain other sensitive or personal data. On the other hand, other skills are involved, such as using the FTP or other connection that allows the upload and alteration of web data. Commercial pressure. Having said all this, many think that one of the reasons for a relatively low take-up of home publishing to the web until the advent of some Web 2.0 features such as blogging and Flickr has been commercial. In the last decade, it has been to the benefit of the software industry, from Microsoft downwards, to convince ordinary users that they do not want to see even simple standards-compliant scripts such as HTML in their raw form in a basic text editor, let alone have to type the simplest thing into a command line. This is to the industry's benefit, as it encourages users to pay for the use of GUI and web applications that take these straightforward underlying technologies and wrap them one level deep behind their user interfaces. The tasks are no simpler, merely presented graphically rather than textually, and often then available only for some considerable change, rather than free, and built into almost every home machine. Unfortunately, at the same time, most computer education became centered around learning to use these commercial products rather than learning about the underlying technologies of the web, the internet, and the machine. Web 2.0 may be about the maturation of some of these previously expensive commercial tools to the point where they can be sold even more widely. Technology. The technology infrastructure of Web 2.0 is complex and evolving, but includes server software, content syndication, messaging protocols, standards-based browsers, and various client applications. Non-standard browser plugins and enhancements are generally issued. These differing but complementary approaches provide Web 2.0 with information storage, creation, and dissemination capabilities that go beyond what was formerly expected of websites. A website could be said to be built using Web 2.0 technologies if it featured a number of the following techniques: technical, CSS, semantically valid XHTML markup and microformats; unobtrusive rich application techniques such as AJAX; Java Web Start; Flex, Laszlo, Flash; XUL; syndication of data in RSS Atom; aggregation of RSS Atom data; clean and meaningful URLs; support posting to a weblog; REST or XML web service APIs; some social networking aspects. General: the site should not act as a walled garden. It should be easy to get data in and out of the system. Users should own their own data on the site. Purely web-based: most successful Web 2.0 sites can be used almost entirely through the browser. Applicable to an emerging generation of game development proposed as thin games. Content syndication: the first and most important evolution towards Web 2.0 involves the syndication of website content, using standardized protocols which permit end users to make use of the site's data in another context, ranging from another website to a browser plugin or a separate desktop application. Protocols which permit syndication include RSS, RDF as in RSS 1.1, and Atom, all of which are flavors of XML. Specialized protocols such as FOAF and XFN, both for social networking, extend functionality of sites or permit end users to interact without centralized websites. See microformats for more specialized data formats. Due to the recent development of these trends, many of these protocols are de facto rather than formal standards. Web services. Two-way messaging protocols are one of the key elements of the Web 2.0 infrastructure. The two major types are the RESTful and SOAP methods. REST, representational state transfer, indicates a type of web service invocation where the client transfers the state of all applications. SOAP, simple object access protocol, and similar lightweight methods depend on the server to retain state information. In both cases, the service is invoked through an application program interface, API. Often this API is customized to the website's specific needs, but standard web service APIs, for example posting to a blog, are also widely used. Generally, the common language of web service is XML, extensible markup language, but this is not guaranteed and proprietary variations abound. Recently, a hybrid form known as AJAX has evolved to improve the user experience in browser-based web applications. This may be used in proprietary forms, as in Google Maps, or in open form utilizing a web services API, a syndication feed, or even screen scraping. Broadly speaking, syndication is a type of web service, but this usage is becoming less common. See also WSDL Web Services Description Language and a list of web service specifications. Server software. Web 2.0 functionality builds on the existing web server architecture, but puts much greater emphasis on back-end software. Syndication differs nominally from dynamic content management publishment methods, but web services typically require much more robust database and workflow support, and become very similar to the traditional intranet functionality of an application server. Vendor approaches to date fall under either a universal server approach, which bundles most of the necessary functionality in a single server platform, or a web server plugin approach, which uses standard publishing tools enhanced with API interfaces and other tools. Regardless of the approach chosen, the evolutionary path towards Web 2.0 is not expected to be significantly altered by these choices. Social impact. The syndication and messaging capabilities found in Web 2.0 suggest the potential to create a more tightly woven social fabric among individuals and various online communities. While terms have been invented to collectively describe these communities, including blogosphere for the world of weblogs, syndosphere for content syndication feeds, and wikisphere for wikis, some observers consider the language and the applied value to be excessive. Business impact. The potential for exponential business growth as a result of the effects of Web 2.0 comes down to the difference between human-instigated value consumption and computer-instigated value consumption. It is entirely possible for identification and consumption of value to occur without human intervention as a result of Web 2.0. Organizations will increasingly syndicate their value propositions using syndication formats such as RSS, Atom, RDF. In addition to value syndication, web service endpoint publishing will simplify the process of consuming the syndicated value. Comparison to Web 1.0. According to Tim O'Reilly, Web 2.0 can be compared to Web 1.0 in this way. Web 1.0, DoubleClick. Web 2.0, Google AdSense. Web 1.0, Ofoto. Web 2.0, Flickr. Web 1.0, Akamai. Web 2.0, BitTorrent. Web 1.0, MP3.com. Web 2.0, Napster. Web 1.0, Britannica Online. Web 2.0, Wikipedia. Web 1.0, personal websites. Web 2.0, blogging. Web 1.0, Evite. Web 2.0, upcoming.org and EVDB. Web 1.0, domain name speculation. Web 2.0, search engine optimization. Web 1.0, page views. Web 2.0, cost per click. Web 1.0, screen scraping. Web 2.0, web services. Web 1.0, publishing. Web 2.0, participation. Web 1.0, content management systems. Web 2.0, wikis. Web 1.0, directories, taxonomy. Web 2.0, tagging, folksonomy. Web 1.0, stickiness. Web 2.0, syndication. This has been the Wikipedia entry for Web 2.0.
This Wikipedia entry has been brought to you by Learn Out Loud. For more educational audio material, please visit www.learnoutloud.com.